Hey, AfterBuzzers. This is AfterBuzz TV's The 100 After Show, Season 3, Episode 9, Stealing Fire. Join us for our thoughts and predictions on the episode, and stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV.
Nailed it.
And now, let the buzz begin.
Okay. Ah, man. What an intense episode! Welcome back! We're so glad to have you. If you haven't done so, make sure to like and subscribe and go on iTunes and do all the things. Joining us today, I'm Tari J. Miller, and to my left is...
Ben Bateman! Guys, when I said nailed it, it was a joke we were supposed to hear! Suron, I'm here and Lincoln's gone and I'm so sad. Oh, I'm so heartbroken. Yeah. Friend of the show.
And Alexis Torres.
I'm a little delirious after tonight's episode. Hi, guys. You can find me all over social media as atorres890, and I picked this song because I am so sad I needed a Rocky theme to get me through the episode, guys.
And the song is called Hearts on Fire from the Rocky film Rocky IV, just in case anybody doesn't know. Our hearts are on fire for Lincoln. It's not supposed to be upbeat because he's dead. It's just the lyrics are hearts on fire.
Right. It just needed to get me through the episode, guys. I needed it. I needed it today.
I think we all needed a little pick-me-up. It was a real dark
ending. There's not enough vodka in my cup to get through today.
Yeah. it was a graphic one, too, the ending there. I did not see that coming.
But we'll get there, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And also, for you guys, stay tuned. We have a very special announcement at the end of the episode.
Like, really special. Like,
hold on.
The specialist.
I'm very excited.
All right, so we've basically given the general thoughts.
Yeah.
So I would like to start where our hearts are in Arcadia.
Oh, jeez. You're just ripping that Band-Aid off already?
Yeah.
All right. Alright, I can do it. We can do it.
Well, it was just like a really interesting one, right? Like there was so much deception and like I don't know. I mean, this episode was really like emotionally confusing because there was a lot of exposition, but then there was a lot of plot development also, and then like it just makes me realize how much I dislike Kane as a character. Like I'm just so
really.
What? Explain yourself, sir. That is my man.
You love... No, wait. Sorry. Did I just say Kane?
Yes. Yeah.
I meant to say Pike.
Okay. Yeah. I was very confused. I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting.
It's going to be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, here we go.
Quite the opposite. I love Kane. Kane's like become like one of the characters that I really enjoy in this show.
How can you not? I think that is my hubby.
I think it actually did like such an interesting job with Kane from the beginning of the show to bring him to where he is now as such a likable character. Yeah. He was so unlikable in the beginning. And he also was so like even when he went through his whole rebirth phase with Jaha when they were going to kill each other in prison, I still wasn't like really on board with him yet. But he's just like something about him now. He's like more of
a it's that beard. It's
like it made him really rugged down to earth.
It's that big fluffy beard. You're just like, well, how could you hate him? You just want to cuddle him up and
I do. I like the beard. But Pike, he just bothers me like. I mean, for every reason that everybody's talked about, and we've all said he's a love to hate character. That's what he's supposed to be. He's written that way. I don't think they would have cast somebody who was sort of so like one tone with his delivery with most of his lines. Right. They didn't want you to feel this one way. But I'm just at this point. I'm just like, look, guys. What do you think? You have some like crazy like courtroom martial law system? Just somebody walk up and shoot this guy in the head and end it, because that's really the problem.
That's the one thing I like thought about. I was like, you guys have weapons. You could just shoot him.
Everybody knows that he's the problem at this point. I don't think anybody on the arc, if they really think about it, is like, yes, you think I'm wrong.
I disagree, actually.
No, I want to hear your thoughts, please.
Because even if you kill him, essentially you make him a martyr. And he does have his own followers.
No, you're right.
So the only way to get rid of him is to dethrone him or like show people the error of his ways because he has enough followers to where no one has usurped him. No one has like even attempted at his life. Everyone is pretty much on his side except for like maybe five people.
I completely agree. I didn't really think about that because in my brain I'm thinking we can just get rid of the problem, but at the same time, I do want to see him not suffer, but I want him to atone for his crimes.
I just feel like when I watch it, I'm just like, all right, Bellamy, I don't know what you're thinking. Because at this point, you're so clearly not on Pike's side anymore. You're so clearly want it to change. I'm just like, how do you
speaking of Bellamy, I don't understand how he thought that everyone was just going to take him back. I know I wasn't here like weeks ago for the last episode before we had our tiny break, our spring break, I guess.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't understand why he was just like, everybody listen to me. It's like, no, you killed a bunch of people. Like,
he's
what?
He's having a really tough go because, yes. and actually, I really
he deserves it.
I really think that the performance from him as an actor is really, really fantastic.
I love him.
I think he's doing a great job.
Yes.
But way more range this season. Not that he didn't have it before, but they're asking him to demonstrate it, which is actually a lot of fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was saying this earlier about this show and something I've noted before, and I was noticing with his character. The stakes when they try to make a character like morally conflicted are so real in this show. They're so massive and pronounced. You know, it's not just like, well, you betrayed this person or, you know, you murdered this one person because you had to save your, you know, parents' life or something. It's like he just like got behind this dictator and murdered 300 people that were supposed to protect his city. And he was supposed to be like a moral centerpiece of the show. He was like the other half of Clark. They're supposed to lead the people together. So when he's sitting there crying, and you can tell that he is conflicted, and he wants to be taken back by his friends because he wants to forget that it happened. He, you know, and as a fan, you're like, I want to like this character again. Why can't things go back to when he was a sweet, like, just nice guy? But he can't, and that's what they did. That's what they did with the show. It's just fascinating. Like, I mean, you don't. I guess I don't want to say like you don't see that on CW because I don't think that's that relevant, but I think it's like it's a dark place to take a character who is not a particularly dark character.
Yeah.
It's usually reserved for guest stars, not for leads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, I enjoy it mostly because we're three seasons in, and there was only so long that he could have been like, I'm posturing, like I'm the leader character.
Know.
So to have him take a turn, especially have it be the complete opposite of our other lead, makes it even more satisfying if he, you know, comes back around or if he meets an end that satisfies you as a viewer who doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Something about Bellamy that's really funny. So you guys, you know, when he talks, he kind of talks like this.
Yes.
If you watch an interview with Bellamy, his actual delivery voice is like quite a bit more like this, like because he's got like
he's Australian.
Yeah, I love it.
But it's even like higher pitched. It's much more like my voice talking.
No, he goes full Batman when he talks as Bellamy. It's awesome.
The American accent's like this.
Well, no, but even
come back.
But even for Ricky Whittle, sometimes he kind of has to talk a little low for him to have his American accent go through too.
It's kind of like when I do my Tom Cruise voice, I have to go really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Lower, well, I mean, also Tom Cruise is kind of quiet.
Yeah,
just a tiny bit.
It's a real intimate impression.
Yeah, exactly.
But I like it.
So I loved the scene with him and Indra, basically kind of they're arguing the same point essentially, and at the end they're like, wait, you did it for Octavia? I did it for Octavia.
Right.
We're cool. Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
No, not really. Not this time.
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen to Bellamy. We can save it for predictions, but I'm really confused. I don't know where they're going to take his character. I've been wondering that for a little while now.
I'm assuming that he's trying to get back on his good graces because he's finally seeing what Pike's true colors are, but it's going to take a hot minute for him to get there.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so. So what else in the arc? That's where we are, right?
I mean, we had little interactions during the whole escape arc. essentially, I really also enjoyed the interaction with Miller and his boyfriend Brian.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was my favorite scene, guys. I don't know if you saw. Well, no, these guys saw my face, but I don't know what it was. I think I really liked the fact that a lot of people, even though nowadays in a lot of TV shows we do get to see a lot of gay couples usually fighting.
Yeah.
But like this one was on a totally different level because of the fact that the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
So the fact that he tried to save his man, but it was crazy how he, like, the one line I loved was the fact that he follows Pike, but you said that you love me and you can't have us both.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I loved that.
What I liked about the scene so much is it felt really efficient. You know what I mean? It was awesome to see, like, that, because he got it out. He's like, I love you, so you're important to me. And he's like, but I did this and you betrayed me. I just found you out by doing this really clever thing. And then he's just like, well, I'm not saying that we're done. I'm just saying you can't have both. Because obviously, I love you too.
Right.
Like, and I loved all that was inferred in like a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel like slapped in the face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like I just enjoyed the interaction. I knew more about those characters and like really the way it interacted from that scene.
And I want to see more of them together. Because I know that we knew about it, but we didn't get to see it until like this season. But like I really loved just their relationship in general. And I want to see more of their... Because now that, you know, if you haven't watched the episode, now he's obviously helping.
Yeah.
And now he's part of the team, which I was it was kind of quick, but I get it because it's like, oh, yeah, I love you. I'm going to obviously be on your side.
Right.
But I want to see how it progresses from then on out because I don't know if he's still going to be kind of cold to him a little bit for doing that or if it's just going to be like, oh, we're just going to put it in the past. Right. Hakuna Matata. You know? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to imagine that. I mean, there might be some tension when they're at home, mm-hmm. but ultimately they're fighting for the same thing, and they seem to be a really strong couple.
Oh, yeah, and that's what I love about their whole relationship. It's just really strong, mm-hmm. and I think that's awesome to implement, especially for people to see on TV.
They've kept those original mainstays from season one, Harper and Miller. They've, like, really kept them around in, like, a sort of a hilarious way. They've almost never expanded their characters. Like, they very, very rarely get, like, screen time or arcs.
Right.
But they've been there for 3 seasons now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Sorry. It just took me a minute. I'm like, what are you talking about? We mostly saw... Oh, yeah. We really didn't get to know them until season three.
Yeah.
And a little bit of season two. I mean, mostly Mount Weather, a lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting that, like, they... You know, I mean, they... I guess just familiar faces, they just had to keep them around. But those are like the kind of characters you kill. Do you know what I mean?
Well, sort of.
I mean, it's kind of in the Battlestar vein in mm-hmm. that, like, you have, like, this crew of mechanics. And, like, sometimes you'll see them do stuff, and other times maybe they'll be mentioned. And at some point they become phenomenally important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe they'll die, or maybe they'll fall back into obscurity.
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe they write them a storyline or something.
And I, again, totally okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It needs to happen.
I like Harper. I like Miller. They're great. They're awesome characters.
I want more of Harper, though.
Yeah.
I feel like she's just kind of like one-lining it, and then that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, but she's making good strides.
No, I'm really proud of her.
Yeah.
Like, she was doing her best. I think the one thing that confused me mostly about the arc is just the radios was really throwing me off. I was like, who's bugging who? Is it both now?
Well, it was, from what I understood, basically, they were using the radio frequency... that they knew that the Ark would monitor.
Yeah.
And so they were basically just using that to their advantage.
Yeah.
And then eventually it turned around on
them. Yeah, that was where I was like, because I know that they had, like, in the beginning when Pike's obviously discussing his plan and it's clearly on the frickin' table. And I was like, okay, so now they know. Great.
Yeah.
And then we went into the whole, like, now they're listening to each other's walkies. And I was like, okay, they were trying to deceive them at the very end, but they can still hear them. And I was like, okay, now I'm really confused because it's all over the place.
There's like a lot
but that was me, though.
There's, like, a lot of espionage in this episode. Definitely, like, one of the better lines was when Bellamy and Monty walk into the room and Harper's like, does your mom know you're here, Monty?
Well, I love that because Anella, I hope I didn't mess that up, says, why does Monty's mom have to be with him all the time? I was so confused. And I was like, I was thinking the same thing, but I'm like, you know, you haven't seen your mom in a while. You kind of want to spend time with her kind of thing. I mean, I am not on that same boat because my mom and I just do not get along. But, like, it was very interesting because the fact that they're inseparable.
But she elected to help Monty there, right? A little bit.
She could have thrown him under the bus, and she didn't do that because obviously she still has a heart because she's still a mom.
Well, she doesn't want her son to get murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, because now the policy on the Ark is traitors get murdered.
Right.
Nice. I saw what you were trying to do there. I was like, good effort.
Traitors get the freighter. There we go.
Get floated, so to speak.
But yeah, I understand that. But I think now the relationship's going to be completely different now. With Monty's mom knowing.
Yeah.
And everything.
Well, I mean, think she'll be more supportive, or do you think she's going to give him an ultimatum?
I think she's just going to keep quiet, but she's going to try to convince Monty to, you know, get back to where they were at. But I didn't... Maybe it's because I'm not remembering the last episode, because it was kind of foggy during my vacation. It's
been a while.
But, like, I couldn't remember if Monty and Bellamy were, like, they established that they were on... They were changing sides. Did they? I'm having a hard time remembering. Don't kill me, guys. I'm still on Hawaii time.
Kind of in covering for, I think it was Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was their turning point.
Okay.
That was when they realized that they were on the wrong side.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I needed a refresher because I couldn't remember. I was like, this is kind of random, but okay, cool.
I find it interesting that they changed the cast of characters so drastically between seasons 2 and 3 as far as who was important and who wasn't. Do you guys notice that? They really diminished the importance. Obviously, Lincoln was one that went way down.
Yeah.
It seems like Octavia has become significantly less relevant. She was on a path at one moment where it really looked like she was going to be like a focal point of the story.
Yeah, but I think she's also established her role already. You know what I mean? I don't think there's more to do with that. besides the fact of her losing her loved one. That's yeah, I mean, not her brother.
Abby is barely in the show, it feels like.
I'm okay with that.
Monty and Jasper are kind of barely in the show now. Yeah. Jasper more than Monty, but Monty's barely in the show.
Yeah.
Well, I like that they are kind of streamlining their characters.
I also agree.
I mean, having a show that is called The 100 and we were following like 30 different characters made it really hard to invest in specific storylines, and it made the storytelling a little more, I won't say convoluted, but it made it a little less focused than it could have been.
Disjointed,
and it gives Tari a little bit of time to like not have his notes be like 2 pages long.
Dude, I used to have six sections.
Yeah, it was crazy. I wish there was a time where we could have taken a picture of his notes, because it was literally in blocks. There was a grid system. It was great. but now I'm like, oh, it's only half a sheet.
The beauty is that when I started here, the first show I ever did was this show, and who's the first host I ever worked with. So I thought that Tari's way was the only way. Yeah. So when I was like starting to try to lead my own first show, I was like, I think I have to take like 6 pages. I have like 6 I was like, how does he do it? He has like 6 different points.
I don't know how you do it.
Outlines and he stays with it. He somehow knows while he's writing it out.
I tried it for Sense8 because there's 8 leads and you have to keep. Right. No, I couldn't do it. There was 8 different locations.
It's a method. I'll teach a class, guys.
Yay! Okay, sorry. Back to the 100.
Follow me on Twitter.
Sorry.
Back to the 100. So ultimately, all of these factions come together and they almost get the prisoners who are going to get executed out, and then Pike gives them an ultimatum, and Lincoln stays, which is his downfall, which is a bummer. I like Lincoln a lot, and I liked where his character was developing last season. They gave him significantly less to do this season, and now they've basically just written him out
completely.
Yeah.
Well, and I read some of the stuff behind the scenes with that. Like, there was a lot of stuff online, forums and rumors. There was some tweets that got exposed and stuff like that, that it seems like he was at odds to some degree with, I don't know if it was the cast or with the showrunners, but there was definitely some stuff that it seemed like he was, but then he's also on the new show. He got American Gods, and so he's leaving the show.
I'm so excited for him. Good for him.
So it's one thing or another, but it was definitely weird to see his character just like, like that scene tonight with him and Octavia was like the first time we had seen the two of them have a moment like that in a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
I mean, do you guys think that, like, behind the scenes politics aside, do you guys think that his character's death was noble or justified, or do you find that it was less impactful, or what are your general feelings?
I'll let Ben go first.
Okay.
I thought it was kind of a waste of death. I really didn't feel like it. It was sad to see him go, obviously, because we love him, but like, I didn't see it coming and just be like, oh, this is the only way they could resolve the situation, and this had to happen, and like, I don't know, it just didn't feel, it just felt like they were writing him off the show, honestly.
Right.
That's what it felt like to me. What do you think?
Sorry, 100 fans. Just throwing that out in general. Since this new season came up, and as soon as they said that Ricky Whittle was going to be on a new show, I immediately knew they're going to kill him off. And even before all the crazy Twitter spoilers and all that kind of crap that was coming out today, which, come on, guys.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, come on. We haven't even seen the episode yet. Like, calm down.
Pacific Daylight Time, everyone.
Jeez.
Well, we watched, like, what, 2 hours after it normally airs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and about an hour after East Coast gets to see it.
So I'm like, come on.
But besides all that, I knew scheduling, because sometimes I know that he was doing Devious Maids at one point too, and he was able to balance that out. But he was doing, what was the show called?
Mistresses.
Was it Mistresses? Yeah. I thought it was Devious Maids, sorry. They're both, anyway. Pretty much. But like, I knew immediately that there was no way he was going to be able to do both, so it was already predictable, and they were already kind of setting it up, again, without the Twitter spoilers, because I didn't read any of that, you can already tell as soon as, like, the opening credits came up, I was like, yeah, Lincoln's going to die. I don't know what it is. It was so predictable, you know? And, of course, I was like, okay, if they're going to kill him off, I wonder how. And in my brain, I'm like, oh, duh. All the grounders are in jail right now, so they're probably going to use them as bait. He's going to come out and sacrifice himself because he's the hero, and there it goes. So I was sad, but I'm like, I kind of saw it coming.
Well, they also just, like, they also, I mean, from the beginning of the season, they just weakened his character, like, just drastically.
I don't know about weakened. I might have to disagree with you on that one. I felt like they were just kind of simmering him down because of the fact that he wasn't going to be in it for the rest of the season. You know what I mean?
I really felt like what they did was they're like, all right, so we're gonna sell the whole idea that Lincoln is trying to integrate with the Arkers, which is fine.
Yeah.
And so he'll seem a little bit less, like, savage, a little bit less of, like, a warrior for that reason. He wears the jacket and all that, and he's at odds with his sister. But as soon as they introduced that, they were like, we'll just stick with this the rest of the time. And then he'll just be in jail, and he'll just seem like he's a warrior who's in jail. But we didn't get any cool, like, actually, we did. We got the prison fight.
Yeah, I was going to say. We got the prison fight. Yeah, we did get that.
But aside from the prison fight, we really didn't get any scenes where, like, this guy was such a badass before.
I mean, yeah. I liked the opening of the season where he was spying with Bellamy, and they were teaching the new soldiers, or whatever you want to call it, to fight. But I just think that they were just trying to soften the blow, pretty much.
Maybe, yeah.
And that's what ended up happening.
I mean, it's also crazy to me that they killed off two fan favorite characters in three episodes.
Yeah, but both with names starting with L.
What's happening? I'm so glad that mine starts with an A instead of an L. But at the same time, I also felt like, not to say that I didn't want him on the show, but I didn't know what more they could do with his story.
Yeah, I get that.
That was the other thing.
But that's what I think the problem was. I think they ruined his character
season. No, I understand. Well, yeah. I think they did that on purpose.
If they would have continued with him being pretty much like an ambassador between the two different tribes.
I would have hated it.
I would have found it really interesting. Because I find that we've had two seasons of war. Right?
Okay,
having a season showing how hard it is to actually broker peace would have been a really... It wouldn't have been as, like, action-packed.
No, but
it would have been really intriguing, and you could have explored, like, the nuances of having two cultures come together and find a happy medium, try to understand one another, and try to, like, be better through each other. But we didn't get that, and so they had to nerf his character a little bit.
Do you guys also remember when this show started? It was not Clexa, and it was not any of the other ships. It was 100% Linktavia. That was like...
But I like that they didn't mess with that, really. It was still always a strong bond. We got a little bit of it in season two, but, like, they were always together, and they were happy, even though Octavia was like, I want to be on the outside, I want to be where the people are, like, that kind of thing. Yeah. But, and I love that Lincoln was just a very good peacekeeper, which, like you said... but I like that, who was it? Devin said he should have died when he went, ape shit.
In the prison. Yeah.
And I said, so that's what my question was, would you rather have him gone earlier or how we are now? We're in episode 9 already. I don't know how many episodes there are in the rest of the season, but I'm just saying, I don't know if we're halfway through or 16 close.
16 total. Yeah.
Okay. So we're kind of there, but, like, I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm also wondering with this many more episodes, you have to assume one more main character dies by the end of the season.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. And I mean, that's usually how that works.
Yeah. That's a heavy hit in season 3 to take out three mains like that.
Yeah.
I don't know who it's going to be, and we don't know if that's going to happen.
That's what I love about all the articles that have been putting out about the 100. It's Game of Thrones. Anybody's up for grabs. Yeah. And actually Richard Hartman said that in WonderCon, where he's like, anything can go. Anybody can. Yeah.
For sure.
So I like that.
Yeah. So I'm going to move over to the Conclave a little bit.
Do it.
In Polis. Yeah. We got a new player on the board after Lexa's death. R.I.P. Lexa.
R.I.P. Lexa. Pour one out for the homies.
They had to find a new commander, and we got Antari. And she is in there in
crazy.
Her full... She's crazy, but I like her a lot.
She's like sexy
crazy. A lot of
crazy.
Fans are kind of like, what? You guys are ridiculous.
No, I mean, she's totally had a sexy crazy moment. She got out of the bathtub.
I want to get to that. I have a whole thing about that whole scene with Murphy, but we'll get there.
I don't think you would describe that as anything else than sexy crazy.
She has crazy eyes, and she's also very seductive. Yeah. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Just all in. All cards, all chips, they're all in there. But, like...
She feels like she wants to drink Murphy's blood or something.
Again, I will get there. But I thought it was very interesting that they had to change it up, and I also really appreciated that the CW didn't show kid heads. That I liked.
I know. For a minute there, I was like, I looked over at Alexis, and I was like, is it because of kids? That's why we didn't see that?
Yes, because we're not AMC Walking Dead where we could just show kids dying.
Or is it possible that they're not dead? And it's like, no, it's just definitely, they're just not going to show a kid's severed head.
Yeah. I think that would be a little much.
So did Antari kill all the kids?
Yeah, apparently she killed all the other Nightbleeders.
She cut all their heads off.
Yep. I also, I'm
all
like...
all their headas off.
Oh, I'm done. We're done. I'm out. Talk about Murphy and the goes Nailed it on the head, I guess. But, like, yeah, I like her changing up the game. I'm not a fan, obviously, of her character in just the aspect of her just being like, ha-ha, I win because right. I killed children.
Yeah.
That whole thing. But
you know, she Darth Vader.
No, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, we got Anakin up in here. Just killing younglings and
all
crap.
All younglings.
Sorry, I just felt my soul die a little bit. But, like, it was just kind of interesting how, but it was also kind of foreshadowing because when she pushed Aiden. And pushed him over, I was like, oh, this fight is not going to end
right,
well. But yeah. Not in their sleep.
Yeah, I mean, she just pushed him to the ground. And I was like, well, he's a little small.
I mean,
to
like,
yeah.
what, 90
stand
pounds,
up,
like you said?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he's going to fight, he's, I mean, that wasn't going to work anyway.
But I would have liked to see him fight, though.
Would
so
you
I'm
really
little...
have liked to see him get
no.
beaten
no,
in,
no,
like,
no.
a knife
I was
fight?
Hoping, yeah. No, but that's the thing. I was hoping that he was just going to be so badass that he was going to be able to beat
him. He's going
to
pull a Yoda right. for another Star Wars reference.
Exactly.
Jumping off the walls.
Throwing up all those Star Wars references. Yes, I wanted him to be Yoda.
Though, I'm sure that this was a conversation in the writer's room and that, like, how much could they actually get away with?
Yeah. And I agree.
Even in The Hunger Games, which is literally about child murder,
yeah, no,
they have to, like, do a lot of quick cuts so people aren't like, oh, yeah. look at those kids dying. yeah. So cool.
It's not like, what's the Japanese version of that?
It's called Battle Royale.
Yeah, Battle Royale, yeah. where it's like, doesn't matter.
yeah, it's just brutal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely thought that the entire plot line with the kids and all that, like, my one problem with that was after the death, when Clark is discussing the whole entire, like, well, the kids are dead now, what do we do? And Murphy's there.
Murphy's just always there. just there doing was, what Murphy does. Sorry.
There was an exchange between, servant.
Just You're Titus.
Titus, yes. An exchange between Titus and Clark, where, like, essentially in about 90 seconds of discussion, we get all the exposition necessary to realize that there's, in fact, one missing heir to the throne is a possibility.
There is another.
that only Clark knows about because of markings on Lex's back that she had seen just moments before.
Yeah, during that sex attempt.
And then Titus very quickly is like, well, there was one more, and she ran away, and she's like, and he's like, Luna, and she's like, oh, I know Luna. Lincoln knows Luna, right. And he's like, can you get me to Lincoln? She's like, totally, I'll take care of it. Like, all this happens in like 90 seconds. I was like, come on, guys, it's a little too much.
They probably didn't have enough time, so they were just like, let's squeeze it all into the speech.
I mean, yeah, it was very convenient, though. I mean, I will say, thanks to the Twitter spoilers.
Yeah.
That moment to me had such like a heart clenching piece to it because. Knowing that Lincoln is going to die, having her go on this quest, she's ultimately just left on a quest that leads her nowhere.
Yep.
Because her resource is gone.
Well, she'll find Luna, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, we know that, but still, yeah, I'm on the same boat where I was kind of just like, I just want to take a target that says bang head here and just do that over and over because I was just like, that was so not necessary. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I liked, before we got off sexy crazy, just because I remembered that there was a line that I really liked.
Uh-huh.
But she's like, how long does this take? And Murphy's like, purification is a process.
guys, I know in the beginning, if anyone's watched since the beginning that they've been doing the show and then I jumped in on the panel, I've always hated Murphy with a fiery passion. But this season, I don't know what it is. I'm on the Murphy train. Richard Hartman's comedic timing is always on point
it
with
is
his
good.
Sassy sass. He's, I love it. He's a bucket of sass.
He started to redeem himself last season a little bit, I thought.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing him with Clark more because they play off each other really well.
They do. Shut up.
Did you guys find it weird at all, though, when he said, I know how much she meant to you? And it was sort of like, you haven't really spent any time around the two of them. Like, and I don't think Clark's ever opened up to you about it. And like, I don't, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong in the chat,
I mean,
guys,
yeah,
if you remember.
I'll keep an eye out.
Literally running episodes through
I
my
don't
head.
Remember. But, I really don't, but I feel like there was some sort of something where he's met Lexa and there was a thing.
I mean, maybe he knows and maybe people have talked about it, but like Murphy was like, I feel like so far removed from the Clark storyline for such a long time.
Well,
because
he was in the City of Light with Jaha.
For a long time.
For quite a bit.
Though, I mean, he did actually watch her die in front of Clark, so
and
seeing
I think
them
clearly,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, so I'm whatever. We don't need to harp on that.
Okay. Well, the chat is saying something that I'm going to bring up in predictions, but yeah, I'm very excited to talk about that since we were talking about Lincoln earlier.
Oh yeah, yeah. Keep that in your brain box.
Yes, I'm going to try to remember that. Mm. But if we can get to the sexy crazy scene, I don't know if we're at that point, but I love my favorite thing about Murphy, since we're talking about him, is the fact that he just gets himself into situations where he cannot get himself out. He gets trapped.
Right.
So how when Titus finally gave Clark the
flame.
Thank you. And she's supposed to go off and do that, and she's like, what about Murphy? I'll get him out. Well, that's funny. Titus is dead now. So now he's stuck in another place where he can't get himself out, but he needs a hot girl to help him survive.
Yeah. He's going to become like, I kind of feel like she's gonna take advantage of him a little bit. I got the feeling. I mean,
and come on. You can clearly tell she's extremely attracted to him in her weird, crazy way, but like, she's just like, I'm going to eat you up. Straight up, and I think it's great.
He's not in the worst prison, I'd say.
No, he's not. I think he's okay. I mean, but also, I mean, she is also crazy sexy, and you don't want
totally
to...
totally evil and just murder younglings? Like,
At the same time, I feel like, sure, love might be awesome on that end, but, like, at the same time, I'm like, you don't dip in crazy. Yeah. Just saying.
Though, they both killed people, so they really
That's also
have
really
that
true. So I guess crazy loves crazy. I get it.
Yeah, we forget that Murphy is pretty nuts.
Like, he's definitely not in the right mind, but his comedic timing is on point.
So, but in after the purification is a process and the sexy crazy eyes, though, how about that Titus moment?
That was the only thing that was unpredictable for me. I was just like, he's drowning in his own blood and tub water. Gross.
Yeah. That was intense.
Yeah. That actor was awesome.
Bloody.
Gross.
And
I wanted to gag. It was so gross.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it, Alexis?
Gross. iTunes listeners, it was gross.
it's all very clear that like the whole plot in Polis is not going to work. Like, she's something bad will happen to her, and she doesn't have the fire, and like.
Right.
Do you think that people are going to follow her without the flame?
Maybe for a time, but I think eventually either Rowan will kill her or she'll die, and I just don't think she's going
to
last.
I don't think Rowan's going to kill her.
There's no way for them to prove she doesn't have it. I guess maybe
that's
if she
true.
Doesn't have the scar, but I mean...
I don't think they check for that, though.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. She keeps her hair down, and I think it'll be fine.
Mm. I don't know.
And even challengers would probably just kill them. I don't know. I mean, I didn't get the feeling... I mean, but who knows? This show surprises me sometimes because it takes us to, like, such dark places.
Yeah.
That I'm just, we're like, already feel like we're in a pretty dark place. And I just wonder, like, could it just get even worse?
Could it
just get even more into, like, Game of Thrones torture porn status where, like, your favorite characters?
No, I mean, we've already, like, kind of, like, gotten to the point of, like, we can't do too much because we're CW. But, like, they've done a lot I know that it's usually, what, after 8? I think is when they air.
Right.
I mean, like, you're already hitting that territory, but I don't think they'll ever get like crazy torture porn kind of Game of Thrones.
But I mean,
they've already hit that mark.
Yeah, who knows? It's getting pretty dark. I mean, she's gonna show up and Lincoln's not gonna be there, and so then she's gonna be lost. And now Lincoln's dead, and I think we will see one more main character die.
Right.
But obviously, the Lexa death was like just like brutal, just like just like to do it in the way they did it. So like, I mean, in terms of shocking expectations and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also am very curious because, and I don't want to like digress into this whole subject, but just because there was such a massive social media backlash to the Lexa death,
right?
Mm-hmm. I do wonder if the next season they'll change the approach. I wonder if the show is going to feel more conservative in what it's willing to risk.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
I think that they'll be more considerate about like implications of things.
Yeah.
Like there was an interview that one of our own Yale
Teagle
had an interview with Rothenberg, and he was talking about how after the season they're going to have a postmortem and kind of really dissect what the issues were and what they could have done better and try to fix the problems going forward.
Yeah. She got some really good interviews there. She also talked to Bob Morley, who said that his favorite ship is still, what do they call it?
Murphamy.
Murphamy. Yeah. Murphamy. The Bellamy Murphy ship.
Yeah.
That's his favorite.
Always down for that.
I mean, and speaking of those interviews, maybe we should move into news and gossip.
Also, we should do Lighthouse during this as well because the fans are demanding Lighthouse because we obviously have to talk about something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick Lighthouse. So we had a kiss with Kane and Abby. Cabby is a thing.
I don't like
Cabby it. Cabby forever.
Go ahead. Hashtag come Cabby. After me. It's stupid. I don't like it. Get off my man, Abby.
I liked it. I was into it.
It was fine.
It felt like it was a long time coming.
I mean, no, it was a long time coming, so yeah. I will say that, but not... Ugh.
Yeah.
Stay off of him.
It was a long time. She deserved some love, so did he. They, you know, they've both, they've been through a lot together.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe one of them will be dead. Maybe, oh yeah, no, not for you.
No, yeah. No Cabby for me. No.
Yeah, we had that. We had, we already talked about. Yeah,
Murphy and Antari.
Yep, that was a good one. Yep. Wasn't there one more Lighthouse thing we're forgetting? Oh, well, there was
Brian and Miller we had.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was also, of course, Octavia
having her moment. Oh, that was hard to watch, but I like that she is going to be, it's not that she's like, I am distraught. No, I will kill everybody for killing my man. Yes. And I like that.
I really like her character. Like, I love where they've taken her, and that's probably the one positive thing that comes out of the Lincoln death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I still think is a bummer of a thing, but like, the one positive to come out of it is that her character just goes from being badass to like even more badass and tortured.
It's gonna be great.
And now she's gonna have like vengeance on her mind, and it's like, it'll be her or Bellamy that kills Pike, right? Positively.
I would assume her or Bellamy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So at WonderCon. Our very own Yael Teagle got an interview with Lindsay Morgan, and
with who?
With Lindsay Morgan.
I'm just gonna be here and chat.
Lindsay Morgan, guys.
Don't mind me.
Do you know who that is? Do you know that that's Raven? Do you know that I love Lindsay Morgan, and I've been trying to get Lindsay Morgan to come on our show for a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
2 years.
So roll that beautiful bean footage.
Do it.
I wrote her songs, multiple songs.
I just want to know what is happening with Raven the rest of the season. So tell us everything.
So spoil everything?
Yeah, that's exactly what they want.
Okay, then I'm going to give it to you. I can't tell you anything. All I can say is it's going to get a hell of a lot worse for Raven before it gets better.
I'm not ready.
It is going to get better.
I mean, it gets better.
What does that mean?
It's 100. It should never gets better.
Fair point.
It gets a little better. So, yeah.
And I know that there's been a man at AfterBuzz who has been singing for you to come in, writing you a few songs.
I wonder who that is.
It's
have
me.
You listened to it? <them?
laughs> Of course I listened to these songs. You kidding me? I played them for everybody.
Aw, well, he wants you to come in. I was told I had to tell you that he wanted you in.
Well, I don't think everyone knows, but I'm coming.
AfterBuzz exclusive!
AfterBuzz exclusive! Right?
No. Do I need to, like, do a song back?
Yeah, yes, you do.
What?
I don't
see. Well, I'm not gonna do it.
She did! Yeah, oh, man. How dare you?
Can you guys believe that she didn't do the beat, but she's coming in?
Yeah!
Guys, Ben has been walking on cloud 9 since WonderCon.
You guys might have seen on Twitter, there was like, after she did that, like, there was like loose, like, she finally was kind of responding to me on Twitter, and there was like some loose announcements. That was like the big, that was like the moment where I was like, she's really gonna do this. Yeah. She's putting it on record. She's coming next week, guys. She is coming next week to the panel. She's gonna be our guest.
Before
here
we continue, we apologize that you guys can't see the video, but you did hear the audio for it. But yes, she is coming.
And
yes,
if you guys do want to see the video for it, it's on Yael's YouTube. You
can, yes, go check it out.
We will tweet out the whole playlist with all the interviews, including Jason Rothenberg,
Eliza Taylor. She gets Taylor. Bob Morley.
Yeah. I love Richard Harmon's. His was funny.
Yeah, that was the entire
really
cast.
It was really good.
So that's the first. That's our big announcement. The next week we're gonna have Lindsay Morgan on the panel, sitting right here with us.
But I'm gonna put Ben on the other side of the table, and she's gonna sit next to me.
I thought she was gonna sit next to me.
No, it's gonna be girls on one side and boys on the other. Be nice.
And I have another piece of announcement with the same appearance, which is that I'm gonna get to do a one-on-one spotlight on with Lindsay Morgan for nearly an hour just before the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, good for you.
I'll be sitting down and conducting the interview that I've always wanted to get. So anybody who watches the show and knows how big of a fan I am knows that it's going to be, I'm going to like paint my face white. So if I blush, it's just going to seem really white.
I have no words.
With that said, why don't we move into some predictions.
Real quick.
Yeah. So, flash predictions.
Oh, man.
I realized painting my face white sounds awful. I wasn't really sure I was going there.
You were just really excited.
Yeah.
Predictions.
I'm going to turn into a mime.
Predictions.
I mean, we have a lot going on. We have the Antari stuff. We have the repercussions of Lincoln's death. We have Murphy inside of Post. We have Clark on a quest to find Luna.
Yeah, she's like the new Link.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see anything from Polis at all next episode. I think it's all going to be in at the Ark. Well, okay, maybe a little bit. I don't know. But mostly, it looks like it's mostly a Raven heavy, speaking of Lindsay Morgan, episode. It makes sense. And I think it's mostly just trying to figure out how to get the city of light, away from the people of the Ark. So I'm very interested to see what their tactics are, what Abby's going to try to do. And then I'm trying to see how Octavia's going to take Lincoln's death, since obviously I felt really bad that she had to watch it from afar. Yeah. That sucked.
She's not going to take it well.
I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, my prediction is just straight up that it will be one of the Blake twins that kills, well, they're not twins, but the Blake children that kills Pike in the end and executes him in an awesomely brutal way. And it'll happen for the end of the season. And also, this is just a long to the end of the season prediction, but I started to think about it, and I think that Jaha's character will die by the end of the season. Because I think they're going to wrap up that storyline. I think they want to wrap up the City of Light storyline. Well, so in the Rothenberg interview with Yell, he talks about how each story is its own
self-contained arc.
Yeah, and so I think Jaha already has lived for a long time past the first expectation of what his character would be. They would have to, morph him into kind of another level of villain or something, or because he's already this ethereal, almost not even really real villain. He kind of lives in the City of Light. Mm-hmm. So I think that they have to conclude the City of Light storyline. If they do that, I can't see Jaha leaving that story and then continuing.
Right.
So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. There's a new ship, Clark and Chip? Clip?
The chip, that she has on
I guess that...
I hadn't heard about
that. Everyone's been talking about it. I didn't understand it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was, freaking out, because I was like...
Because it's Lexa in a chip? Clip?
Yeah, that's cute.
Yeah, it's adorable.
That was actually going to be my prediction.
Oh, was it?
That, I think that she's going to take the chip, and Lexa's going to appear to her.
Yeah, and then that's how we're going to see her for a majority of... Yeah, but I also like that, since we were talking about that Clark wasn't, big in this season... I'm glad that we're finally getting some alone time with her, and actually getting to see her more in action in her own way, instead of in the beginning where we kind of saw she had sex and she did this and she did that, and that was it. And I was like, okay. And then she just talked the entire time. So now I'm kind of glad that she's doing more stuff.
Yeah,
fair.
Me too.
So, but sorry, it took me a minute. I was just like, I don't understand why everyone keeps yelling clip. We already showed it.
Right.
Oh, got
clip,
it.
Clip. Cool. Well, we are unfortunately out of time.
We are.
So, any last thoughts before we go?
Just that you guys should be here next week, because it's going to be
Please.
Awesome. And also, we'll all be tweeting about it, and we'll be asking for some fan submission questions and all that sort of thing.
Yes.
So follow each of us on Twitter in the meantime about it.
Yeah.
So we can.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm quite active on Twitter recently. So I will absolutely respond to you.
What about you, Alexis?
Sorry, I was still talking about shipping and clipping. you can find me all over social media at atorres890. Find me on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ps890, where I talk about random stuff. I have a new vlog that's called Hump Day Lunch Hour, where I sit in my car and talk on Wednesdays about random things. We talk about family vacations, because I just went on one.
Fun.
Nice.
So, yeah, please put your input, because I want to know things.
Awesome. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay. Thanks again for joining us. We had a great time chatting, and we love chatting with you. Make sure to, as Ben said, keep up with us on social media.
Please.
Make sure to also like and subscribe so you can get this every week. Every time we do a new show, it'll show up in your feed. Give us some stars. Let us know how we're doing, and have a wonderful week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.